Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Now, do you hear, that's my youth pastor back there. Ever since I told him my mom calls me Freddy Boy, that's what he calls me. I let him get by with it. The rest of you folks. Boy, I love this time of year, don't you? I love summer, hot weather. I love it. Got my neighbors here again. Look at them. They're taking up that whole row there. All right. Good to see you guys. The Stumps. You know how you spell their name? S-T-U-M. Is it M? F-F. P-O. P. S-T-U-M-P-F-F. Isn't that different? Stump. I think that's different. You just don't see that. I like things that are different. Do I? That's the way he does me in the yard all the time. He's always got something for me, you know? All right. But I just love this time of year. You know what? I took my daughter and my son to that Creation Museum Thursday. And I tell you what, that was really something to see. I want to encourage every one of you to try to get there. It is just really amazing. And you know what I can't believe? I can't believe that they haven't done that years ago. Because I tell you what, people who go through there, people are going to come to Christ through going to this museum. And you know, they're not pounding and preaching. That's just the truth being revealed. You know what I'm saying? It's really something to see. You know, it's like the most visited exhibit in Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio right now, that Creation Museum. And they've done a very good job at it. And so just kind of encourage you guys. So I went there. My son had a triathlon yesterday. And that's one of those deals where you run, you bike, and you canoe. Him and his friend, they tried to come in the top 10. I don't know if they made it yet. I'll have to check it out. But that was kind of exciting. All these people, you know what? Next year, I'm going to do that. And that's the first time I ever went and saw anybody come across the finish line on a triathlon. So I kind of got my appetite for it now. So I'm gonna try to do that. Mike, you want to do that with me next year? He said, "Go, let's do it." All right. Where are we? Okay. Last week, what did we talk about last week? We talked about selfishness. Remember I told you how selfish you are? We are. Weren't you glad? And you know what? That is our problem, is our selfishness. And, you know, that's why our country's in the shape it's in. That's, you know what? That's the only place the enemy can get in our life is through our selfishness. It's self-imposed. And remember, we've been talking about temptation. And what are the three areas? Remember, Hebrews 4:15 says, you know, that Jesus was tempted in all points, just as we are. What are those three points? 1 John 2:16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three areas, you are going to be tempted until you take your last breath on this planet. You will always be tempted in those areas. That's why you have to understand temptation. And remember, we talked about Rehoboam, how he fell into evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Remember that in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14? That is a huge verse, small but profound. Because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord, he fell into evil. He yielded to the temptation. And remember, what's that word prepare mean? The word prepare is the Hebrew word kun, and it means advanced, it means direct, it means fixed. It means fixed. And remember, David said in Psalms 57:7, he said, "My heart is fixed, O God, on you, and I will praise you." Now, remember, that idea of fixed. So it's the word prepare means fixed. Now think about this. Remember I shared that story about that guy, that friend of mine who laid that big driveway, that concrete, and these trucks were going to come up on the concrete? And he said, you can't pull up on this concrete until this concrete is set and fixed. He used that term, fixed. Because if you pull up on there too soon, you're going to leave an impression in the concrete. Well, you see, that's what happens. If your heart's not fixed, other things are going to leave impressions in your life that you're going to have difficulty getting out. It's just like that concrete. If your heart's not fixed and it's not prepared, temptation can come and it can leave an impression on your life that you're going to have trouble getting out. But remember, if your heart's not prepared, you're going to have to repair, right? You're going to have to repair your heart if it's not prepared. So, and repairing sometimes can take a lot of work. And so last week we talked about our selfishness and pride. Remember? Pride is that one of the areas, lust of the flesh, lust of the, and the pride of life. Pride is one of the areas that the enemy gets in our life. Remember, the devil didn't become the devil because he hated God. He loved God and worshiped God. He became the devil because he wanted the glory. You see that? He wanted the credit, the glory. And so the idea is, folks, pride got in. And when that's why God hates pride. It says in Proverbs 8 that God abhors it. That's off the chart. That's more than hate. He hates pride. And it says in Proverbs 13:10, by pride only comes strife. Remember, I looked up the Hebrew word only, and it means only. Only comes pride by strife. Pride is the only thing to bring strife. What's strife? Strife is arguing, always wanting your way. You're right and they're wrong, and you're going to prove it. That's strife. And strife destroys churches, families, businesses. Strife will destroy anything that God's trying to bless. Strife is very destructive, and it's rooted in pride. That's why we got to understand this area of temptation and pride. So what did we talk about? We talked about David said in Psalms 10:17, he said that he cried out and was humble, and God gave the desires of his heart to the humble. And then it says, and he prepared the heart. God prepared David's heart because he was humble. When you and I are humble and we're dependent on God, God is preparing our heart. He's fixing it so that the temptation and whatever comes isn't going to leave an impression on your life. You see that? When you're dependent on God. Remember what's humble mean? Humble is taken from the word humus, the Hebrew word humus, and the word humus means dirt or earthy. Dirt or earthy. And remember, that's why we're drawn to people who are down to earth. Humble people, we're attracted to that. All of us are. Now think, because they're real. And you see, now watch. The word earthy means real in Hebrew. So that's how you become real and authentic. Remember, the number one reason why young people don't want to come to church, because of hypocrisy and fake and phoniness. But when you're real, they want to be there. You see, the only way you can become real is to become humble and depend on God. God gives grace to the humble. Your dependency on Him is helping you to become the real you. And when you become the real you, now you've got a prepared heart, and stuff isn't going to affect you because you're too busy being you. Huh. Are you with me? That's where God wants us to be. God wants you. Remember, God rejoices in the truth. In 1 Corinthians 13:6, love rejoices in the truth. So God is love. 1 John, God is love. So if God is love, God rejoices in the truth, not in iniquity. Iniquity are those patterns from your parents and 3 and 4 generations. You see that? Okay, you know where I've been. Okay, so now, we looked at this area of what you focus on. Remember last week? Remember that book, The Noticer? And the guy was living under a pier and the selfishness. The guy was living under a pier and he lost his parents. He lost his parents and he was depressed, and he was focused on himself. He was focused on himself. He'd lost both his parents. He was young, and he was going downhill quick, not bathing, living under a pier. Here comes somebody and says, look, whatever you focus on, that's what's going to increase in your life. That's what you're going to, what's going to increase in your life. The principle works the same. If you focus on negative, the negative is going to increase in your life. If you focus on God and the goodness of God, that's what's going to increase in your life. Now watch this. If you're complaining and murmuring and you're focusing on the negative all the time, people don't want to be around you. You see that? But if you're a person that encourages and builds up and edifies, people want to be around you. People are what you need to encourage you. So if we need encouragement, we need to be that. So people will come to encourage us. And opportunities come through people. So if we are drawing people towards us because we're encouraging, opportunities are going to come our way. You see that? That is huge. That is huge. Because opportunities only come through people. And God will always bring them through people. But if you're a person always focused on yourself, doesn't matter what's happened to you, crisis is going to happen to everyone. Everyone is going to face a crisis. Everyone's going to lose a loved one. And folks, divorce, financial problems, crisis is going to come. How you respond to it. You see that? How you're responding to it. Are you dependent on God in it? How you're responding to it is what God is looking at. Oh, I tell you. Oh, isn't that good stuff? I'll tell you what, I'm about to get happy. Now, that's how it is, folks. Go with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 6, I'm sorry, excuse me. And we're going to look at verse 47. Verse 47. And, you know, the guy that was living under the bridge, remember? Okay, go to Mark 4, or chapter 6. The guy that was living under the pier, okay, 25 years later, he writes this book. It becomes one of the national bestsellers, New York Times. And he's got three kids, and he's prospering and doing very well. And he credits it all to the person who visited him under that pier and showed him his selfishness. You see that? Oh, man. That's why how we respond to a crisis is huge. Okay. Mark 6, verse 47. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land, Jesus. Verse 48. Then he saw them straining and rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. Verse 49. When they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately, they were all troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Verse 51, then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was what? Hardened. Today we're going to talk about a hardened heart. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for this place. We thank you, Father, for everyone that's here today, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the fathers. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Father. Lord, those who are struggling with not understanding why maybe their father abandoned them or has done something in their life that's they don't understand. Father, bring understanding to their hearts today, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for all you're doing. And Lord, let none of us remain the same because we have been in your presence. Father, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, We ask, Lord, that they will call upon you. For you said, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we call upon you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Now, what is going on here? The disciples are in the boat. They're in a crisis situation. They are in a crisis situation. Now, this boat is being tossed by the wind, and they are struggling and striving, it says. Striving and trying to row, trying to keep this boat. They are fighting for their lives, right? It says they were troubled, and it says they were afraid. They were full of fear. Now think about this. They were so focused on surviving, that was their problem. They were focused on themselves. Selfishness. You see that? Now why do you say that? It says in verse 52, for they had not understood about the loaves. Why? Because their heart was hardened. Because their heart was hardened. They had just seen Jesus feed 5,000 people with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. They had just witnessed that. You know what? The old King James says, they did not consider the loaves. They did not consider the loaves. The word consider means this. It means to study. It means to examine. It means to ponder. It means to deliberate. The miracle. They didn't even give it any extra thought or study. That's why their heart had become hardened. You see that? That's why their heart had become hardened. They're in this crisis situation when they need God the most, right? And they're struggling and striving, and their hearts are hard. Now, hardened means this. That word hardened, it means cold. It means insensitive. It means unyielding. It means unfeeling. That's what it means. Unyielding, unfeeling, cold, insensitive. So that's what happens. We become cold, unyielding, and unfeeling towards God because we're focused on the circumstances. We're focused on what's going on around us. And we forget about where God has brought us and all that God has done in our lives. The miracles he's done. Am I making sense? And that's how our hearts become hardened. And that's what we have to be aware of. It says in Hebrews 3, today if you will hear his voice, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be hardened. Hardened as in the day of rebellion. You know, I used to think that rebellion was why people's hearts get hardened. And you know what? I've been walking with the Lord for 28 years, and I have never turned my back on the Lord. I've never walked away and had this time of like the prodigal son. I haven't done that. And I'm not bragging or anything. I just haven't done that. But you know what? He showed me my heart can be hard. You see that? My heart can be hard because I'm so focused on what I'm going through, my crisis situation, what I'm going through, my heart can be hard. And he says, today, if you hear, you know what? You can't hear his voice if your heart is hardened. Am I making sense? That's when you need to hear his voice, is when you're going through the crisis. Come on. Am I making sense? That's when you really need to hear his voice. Folks, this is huge. When we understand this, your heart, you're going to make sure you keep your heart prepared and fixed on God. Because listen, folks, it keeps you sensitive towards God. I need to hear from him. Are you with me? You know what? We are living in a day when we are inundated with information. Information coming through the computer, coming through the TV. I don't have any problem with computers. I don't have any problem with TV. But information is just flooding our homes. And you know what? We can just get so caught up in that information that we become hardened towards God. You see that? We become so flooded and inundated. No other generation has the ability to go across the country and find out what's going on across the country like we do. On the other side of the world, we can, at the flip of a switch, we can find out what's happening on the other side of the country. It's at our fingertips. Information age is what we're in. That has the ability, nothing wrong with that, but that has the ability to harden your heart towards God. Am I making sense? There's somebody in my church, in this church, that they told me they started coming here, and they said when they started coming here, like almost a year ago, that they always watch CNN and they always watch the news, and you know, they're hearing all this. They always were focused on that. They said, but now they said, I don't even watch the news anymore. And I said, you don't? I said, well, you know, we don't have to be like an ostrich and stick our head and be in denial. And you know, that's right. But you know what? We don't have to watch that mess all the time. You hear what I'm saying? You don't. God wants you to be focused on Him. Overcome all evil with what? Good. We're to be focused on the good things of God. Not, and when we're focused on that, that has the ability to desensitize you towards God. Is this making sense? If all we're listening to is the news and looking at the crisis situation they talk about all the time, there's no crisis in the kingdom of God. There is no crisis in the kingdom of God. God has wisdom and answers for everything we're all going through. Everything we're all going through. If we keep a heart towards Him, He's going to give it to you. You see this? So, I remember I was watching the news, and they came out with this swine flu epidemic, right? And you know what? The first thing I heard, oh, here we go. That was my first, and you know what rose up in me? Psalms 91, verse 10. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Rose up in me. You see that? Because I was focused on God and His word and what He says to me. They don't even consider God in the equation when they're communicating that mess to you. You have to be the one who considers God. You see that? You have to be the one who ponders, who examines and studies the things of God. Am I making sense? Come on now. Oh, this is nothing but the truth. Do you see this? Oh, this will help you get there. Now think about this. If all we're looking at is that, here, we can reverse it. You see, we are all going to be put in a position where, you know what? There is nothing wrong with knowing how to operate a boat. You know, they were in a boat and they were doing their boat thing. They all knew about boats, right? They all understood how to, you know, face the waves and whatever. Nothing wrong with that physical knowledge. We all need education. We all need an amount of physical knowledge, right? You know, I go flying with Mike sometimes. And you know what? I remember the first time I was going up in that plane with him, I was watching every move he made. I mean, every move. I mean, I saw him looking under the hood, checking little things, and I'm watching him, you know, and I'm thinking, that makes me feel good. You know, he gets out, and he's looking, he goes through all this stuff, and he goes through this list. Dun, everything. I thought, that kind of gave me a little, you know, I'm glad he's focused on that stuff. You know, I'm glad he just didn't hop in there, oh, let's go, we'll just trust God. You know, that would have made me nervous. And I'm fearless. Do you understand? So it's important that we, to a point, that we look at physical things. But folks, we take it off the chart, and that becomes our focus. What you focus on increases. See that? And that's why we can reverse it. Here's what we can do. We can be so focused on God and what He says about us, and now we're desensitized towards the things of the world. Unfeeling, unyielding, that news, all that has no effect on our life. It's not leaving an impression. We're not tempted to be consumed with all that's all around us, right? Because God has an answer and wisdom to impart in every one of us. And it's going to come through your heart relationship with Him. Come on, am I making sense? This is huge. Where's my Bible? All right. You know what? We have to get to a point where we got to trust God more than what the doctor's telling us. You see that? Sometimes we get so focused on what the doctor has said, and we can be consumed with that. And really, God has a word of healing. You know, a miracle can come your way if you keep yourself in a position. Am I making sense? Sometimes, financial, don't listen to just what the bankers are saying and all the people saying you should file bankruptcy. Right? Focus on God. Problems. If we're focused on God, we can overcome. Because God has an answer and He's trying to get it to you. He's trying to get it to you. Am I making sense? This is huge. Now, everybody say this with me. What you focus on increases. So now think about this. Where was I going? What? But here's the idea. When you are focused on all that God has for you, that is going to increase in your life. And you know what? It's not based on what's happening to you. It's based on your heart and how you're handling it. You see that? That is so big. Here's a profound revelation, but it's simple. You can't be tempted with anything you don't think about. You can't be tempted with anything you don't think about. If you don't think about it, you can't be tempted. That's just the way it is. And folks, that's what we got to understand. If I don't think about it, I'm not going to be tempted with it. If you don't think about all your problems at work and everything the country's in and all that, you're not going to be tempted to be focused on the negativity. You're going to be focused on God. And God's going to bring an answer to you and other people that have answers for you. You see that? Because that's the kingdom of God. We were on a trip, John and Steve and I, and this conference, and John always has this music, and he put this CD in. I love it. You know, I don't even know if it applies, but it's just coming to me. It says, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can give a man a brain, but you can't make him think. You can smile all day and not be happy. You can get your hair did and it still be nappy. Oh, don't you like that? What's your point? I don't know. But now, it's what you're thinking about. You got to watch what you think about. You see, a lot of us have brains, but we don't take control of what we're thinking about. Right? We have to understand, what are we thinking about? Now, go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, real quick. Hebrews chapter 11. Excuse me. I am going golfing with my daughter today for Father's Day. She's taking me golfing. That's my first golf trip this year. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 15. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Now think about this. He says, and truly, you see, he uses the word truly there. Anytime he uses the word truly, he's telling you, if you're questioning and you don't understand this, get this. Because truly, this is true. And anytime he says verily, verily, or truly, truly, he's wanting your attention on this. This is true. Understand this. Truly, they had called to mind, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Now, what's he talking about there? He's talking about Abraham. God called Abraham and Sarah out of Ur Chaldean, which is today modern day Iraq. He called him out of that place and said, as far as your eyes can see. And he said, I will make your descendants as many as the stars in heaven. Influence. Now look at this. Here's my point about what you think about. If they had called to mind where they had come from, they would have never been able to enter in. Every one of us are descendants of Abraham. We are all spiritual children of Abraham, the Bible says. Now, think about this. If Abraham his mind would have been full of where he had come out of, that's where he ended up back at. You see that? If your mind, that's what some of you says, if he was not mindful, if your mind is full of something, that's where you're going to go. You see that? That's where you're headed. That's what's going to show up in your life, what your mind is full of. Now think about this. Abraham was blessed. I mean, he was blessed. Now look at this. Verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You see that? What your mind is full of is where you're going to end up. That's what I'm trying to show you today. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. If you know what? I went to that garden party. And you know, sometimes when you go to those things where your classmates are from and, you know, you see some old girlfriends, you think, sometimes in your mind you might, now, you've all been to class reunions? Sometimes you might think in your mind, well, I wonder what it would have been like if I'd have hooked up with them. Just fleeting, you know. Anybody ever do that? You haven't? I don't believe it. Just me? But the idea is, you know what? You can get so caught up and really get distracted if you get focused on, you know, you're always trying to hook up with your old mates from back in high school. And, you know, that's a big thing, you know, this Facebook and whatever. You know, that will take you and get you focused in the wrong place. Am I making sense? And it has a power to desensitize you towards God. I'm not telling you not to do it. But I'm showing you, if you're always in that and caught up in that, it has the power to do that. I remember when I came to this church. I came up here and there was 10 people or so. I mean, just a handful. We ended up in this room back in the back. And they wanted me to be the pastor. And I looked around. I came in. I looked at this old green carpet and all these blonde pews in here. And it kind of had a... It did pew. It was pew. You know, it kind of had a smell to it. You know, just like religion. You know, candlesticks and all this, you know, I'm not being mean. I'm just showing you it had that. You know what I'm talking about. But I looked at this and I thought, I'm going to come here and look, and this place was up for sale. It was up for sale. They were ready to close the doors. And they were in that meeting, and they didn't know if they could pay me $7,000 a year, $7,500 a year. They didn't know if they could come up with it. And I'm getting ready to leave a job, $50-some thousand dollars a year. And 2 years from now, I've just been here 9 years, but 2 years from now, I would have all my health benefits paid for the rest of my life. I would have a good retirement ready, steady. On the company I left is prospering and doing very well, and they are working overtime, and I'm telling you, it's a biotechnology company. They make natural products. It's doing very well. What's your point? Have I ever been tempted to go back to that? Not, you know what, how much? Can you see between them fingers? Not even that much. I've never been, I know that when God said, this is it, this is it. You see what I'm saying? He said, this is it. I know it. This is it. And so I've held on to that. I've gone through some hell and high waters up in here trying to deal with some of you folks. No. I'm other folks, Lloyd said. But you see my point? You know what? God has called every one of you in this room. God was trying to get my attention when I was a kid. He's trying to get some of y'all's attention. And he was trying to call you from your childhood. You know what? We put it off, and we put it off, and we put it off. You know I put it off at times. I was preaching in prisons. I was flying to North Carolina, Virginia, places to preach. But God was calling me. You see this? And then when you just give it all to Him, you know what? Sometimes stuff doesn't always turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out. You know, sometimes when you do that, your own family looks at you like, God's calling you? You know, like, where you? They know you. They know everything about you. Who do you think you are? Am I talking to the right people? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says this, all who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. All. How many? All. If you're not being persecuted for your faith, if people aren't talking about you and making fun of you and saying negative things about you, you better look how you're living. Because that just comes with the curriculum. That's part of the plan. Am I making sense? All right, go with me to Romans chapter 4. Are you there? I love this. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, speaking of Abraham. In the presence of whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God calls things that aren't as though they are. You know what? I used to come in here and preach to a room full of empty chairs. You say, well, he's lost his scruples. I did. I used to come in here and just preach. Peggy wasn't, I'd wait till she went home. But I could see it. I could see it in Sydney. I see the need of it. People needing God's word and what God's word can do to a life. Because the power's in the word. It's not in a person. The power's in the word. Remember the seed that was in the tombs for, or not tombs, but the Egyptian tombs for over 3,000 years? The seed was in the tombs, and they took it out, and they planted it, and it grew, and it produced fruit. But it was dormant until it was planted, until it got into the right environment. All that potential and power stayed inside that seed for over 3,000 years. See, the seed, we've been born again of the seed of the Word of God. The Word of God is where the power and the potential comes from. And I'll tell you what, God has dropped something in my heart that I know that's true. And that's what I see here. Now think about this. Let's look at this. Verse 18. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. Speaking of Abraham. According to what was spoken, So shall your descendants be. Verse 19, get this. And not being weak in faith, he did not what? Consider, study, ponder, examine, deliberate his own body already dead. He didn't look at his lack of ability, his body. He was 100 years old, right? He wasn't even thinking about Holy Ghost Viagra, right? Nothing wrong with that. Don't get all religious on me. Think about this. He didn't look at his dead body. Now think about it. Since he was about 100 years old and deadness of Sarah's womb, he didn't look at that. He didn't consider it. He didn't ponder and think about it. Think about it. Look at this. He did not, verse 20, he did not waver. You see that? He didn't look at the physical conditions and the circumstances compared to what God had said. Now look at this. And that's why his influence, and that's why he accomplished so much, and that's why he was the one that was on the mountain that discovered Jehovah Jireh, our provider. God showed him that because he stayed focused on the promises of God. Look at this. Verse 20. And he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. You see that? He kept his heart focused on what God had said to him more than what his body was telling him, more than what circumstances looked like. Do you see this? Come on, do you see this? You know, stop looking at your job. Go and do that job as unto the Lord. Don't do your job because, you know, you're tired of it and whatever. Hey, just keep doing it and doing the best you can do. God will bring something better. Go in there and don't do it for your supervisor. Do it for God. Do all you do as unto the Lord and not unto men. Do it for the Lord. Go in there and have you a good attitude, right? Nobody wants to be around a complainer and a murmurer and a fault finder, right? Somebody wants to be around people who edify and encourage. Opportunities come. We making sense? He didn't even consider his dead body. I love that. It says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast to the promise. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope and to the promise. For he is faithful. We got to hold fast to what God says. Right? And we will become desensitized to, we'll become hardened towards the world's influence on our hearts. Amen? See? Ricky didn't hold fast. I got his promises right here. If he had been held and fast, I wouldn't have got that out of his hand, would I? You see, folks, when you hold on to what God has called you to and told you to do, nothing can stop you. Your salvation is not based on your children, your grandchildren, your grandparents, your parents, your wife, or your spouse. No, your salvation is dependent on what you do. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Am I making sense? All right. I'll tell you what. I'm excited. Are you all excited? God is doing things in our hearts. We have so much to look forward to. Crisis. Remember, crisis. You know, we're not going to, the kingdom of God is not in a crisis. It's not even in a crisis. There is no crisis in the kingdom of God, right? Life, peace, joy is in the kingdom of God. And folks, that's what we're part of. If we hold on to his promises, that's what's going to show up in our life. Where's my music, folks? And our hearts won't be hardened. Did you get that today? If you got to say amen.